40 days of freedom lie before us. So the 40 days of Lent are patterned after the 40 days that Israel spent, the 40 years that Israel spent in the desert after many centuries of slavery in Egypt. And as they seemed to be wandering aimlessly through the desert, God was training them in freedom. He was preparing them for their inheritance to enter and live as a free people in the Promised Land. Because God created us for freedom. Galatians 4:1 says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Well, this Lent, we're going to claim the freedom that Christ won for us in the desert and on the cross. So over the next 5 Sundays, we're going to look at 5 keys that unlock the door to freedom. 5 keys that unlock the door to freedom. And the first and the most important key is repentance. It's the one that unlocks the padlock, the great chain that's keeping our door locked. And that's why we hear on this very first Sunday of Lent, Jesus emerging from the desert crying out, "Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and leave behind the sin that has you bound up. Abandon it forever." And this is the moment when we want to bow our heads and shuffle quietly out of the church, isn't it? Because we know well enough that our sin is enslaving us. But what no one can understand is that we can't leave it behind. You know, it's become too much a part of me, like a wire that was wrapped around the trunk of a tree when it was still a sapling, and the tree grew up and finally engulfed the wire. And now if you want to extract the wire, you're going to have to destroy part of the tree. Or like a chain that's grown into your flesh. It's been tightly wrapped around you for so long. Or a heroin addict who, if you just took his drugs away, would begin to tremble and shake and might die. Isn't that part of what keeps us from repenting? That our sin has become so much a part of us that we're afraid that we would die if we gave it up. Like, I have this pride, and I know it's ugly, but it's the only thing keeping me from being a slob or a failure. Or this anger, if I gave that up, it would be more than cutting off my arm, it would be like cutting out my heart. Or maybe it's alcohol. And you think, I'm disgusted by it, I'm tired of it, but life without it would be so bleak. I can't live without it. So we might want to change, but we're afraid that repentance will destroy us. And that is one way that God could deal with sin. He could just destroy us. He could wipe us out together with our sin. But he promised never again to do that. After the flood, God made a covenant with Noah. He said, "I will establish my covenant with you that never again shall all creatures be destroyed by the waters of a flood. There shall not be another flood to devastate the earth." And then he gave a sign to confirm that covenant, the rainbow. He stretched it across the sky and he said, then God said, "I set my bow in the clouds to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Think about the meaning of this sign. A bow is a weapon of war. And now it's aimed at heaven. The bow is aimed at heaven. So God is saying, from now on, I won't deal with sin by sending destruction upon the earth. I myself will bear the blow. Heaven will bear the blow. The bow now is aimed at heaven. And that's what Christ did on the cross. He suffered the blow. He was destroyed by sin. So from now on, we're not awaiting a destructive flood from heaven, but a gentle rain that can moisten the dry, brittle clay of our hearts. You know, it's true that if we tried to change on our own, we would break. We've hardened in our sin like dry, brittle clay. But the gentle dew of the Holy Spirit comes from heaven to soften the clay of our hearts and make it malleable in the hands of God. The prophet Ezekiel says, "I will sprinkle clean water over you and make you clean. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." That's the promise of the gospel. Repentance will not destroy us. Christ won for us this season of grace, this time when we can change without breaking. We can repent without dying. You know, when Augustine came right up to the threshold of his conversion, he began to panic. After a long process of seeking, he was convinced of the truth of the Christian faith. But he had a problem with lust. And when it seemed that he was finally ready to surrender his life to Christ, it rose up within him and said, "You can't survive without me. You won't make it without me." This is how he describes it in his Confessions. He says, "I was held back by those supreme frivolities that were my old friends." He's talking about his old vices. "They plucked at my carnal clothing and whispered, 'Are you dismissing us? From that moment on, we will not be with you, not for eternity. From that moment on, you will not be allowed to do such and such a thing, not for eternity.' What sordid and shameful thoughts." And then he sums up the whole pernicious argument of his flesh, saying, "Do you think you can do without these? You can't live without this sin. You won't survive without me. We've been friends for too long. You'll die without me." But he broke free. He couldn't do it by the strength of his own will, but by the grace of God. And that grace is extended to us in this season of Lent. It's this a time of conversion, a time when the dew of the Holy Spirit descends upon the church, when it descends upon the hard, brittle clay of our hearts to make them malleable again, to make it possible for us to change. So I want to invite you to identify some place of slavery in your life and to make a bid for freedom this Lent. Make a decision and implement the necessary means. We have so many brilliant people right here in this church tonight who I'm sure are out on Capitol Hill or in think tanks making strategic plans to change or renew the world or bring stability to some region of the world. Well, let's make a strategic plan for Lent. Let's apply that same creativity and thoughtfulness and seriousness to what's most important. Let's make a strong bid for freedom. Let's beg for the grace of God, and let's put these grace-filled means that the church gives us in this season of fasting and prayer and almsgiving, let's put them at play. So if you put your trust in the Lord and your heart in the work, you can break free during this Lent. We have before us 40 days of freedom. So make a plan, go to confession, repent of your sin, and then go for it. Start running after freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Let's claim the freedom that he won for us.